received at least a portion of what they needed, but never all. Nobody ever got everything they wanted. Keep them hungry and off balance. Ruling a bill was simply a matter of blasters, but controlling 100 bills was a different matter entirely. Accepting a mug from a full-breasted serving girl, Kinnison reached into a pocket and extracted a small purple capsule of pre-dark design. He broke it apart between his strong fingers and sprinkled the powdery contents into the brew. He drank deeply and soon felt the telltale rush of warmth through his body. Jolt was the only thing keeping him alive these days. It cut his pain by half and gave the man back some small measure of his once formidable strength. Flash helped the open sores on his skin, but only Jolt eased his pain. Unfortunately, he needed larger and larger doses to achieve the same results, and knew that one day he would cross the line and overdose, hopefully dying before awakening chained in his own dungeon. Anything but that. The brother of a baron from a southern island struck up a conversation with him.
But these girls are not gnomes. They are muties and rarely speak because they're afraid of showing their forked tongues.
Forked?
Kinnison tried not to get too impatient. The jolt had him wide awake now, and he tried not to glance at the main doors. Where the hell was Glassman? His family was already far to sea in their boat. Could the healer be holding his son hostage? Unthinkable. The younger man nodded.
Yes, my lord. Gods, they are beautiful. I can pleasure a man in ways no goddess slut would dare. But death follows the muties, and I have found that several have been seen in other vills. And they all look alike.
Sisters.
Kinnison soon bored with the subject. If the girls were trouble, fuck them, then chill them. Or do it the other way around. He really didn't care.
No, my lord. They are identical. Absolutely identical in every way.
The crowd murmured unhappily at this news.
Clones?
As always, High Chancellor Griffin was scrubbed painfully clean, from his pointed beard to his soft leather moccasins. His clothing was plain, almost nondescript, and if he was armed, no blaster or blade was in sight. The lack of a visible weapon frightened most people, although they couldn't quite say why. Kinnison glowered at the High Chancellor.
Crap! My father chilled them all. There are no clones anymore.
Just then, cheering could be heard from outside the throne room. Suddenly, the double doors were thrown open, and in came a large group of laughing people, led by Glassman, carrying a swaddled bundle into the throne room of the Baron's fortress.
My lord, it's a boy! You have a son!
Kinnison grinned, brandishing both bandaged fists into the air.
I have an heir! An heir! Nobody works for the rest of the day. Wine for everybody, and it is forbidden to whip the slaves until nightfall.
The crowd of attendees erupted into cheers, lifting high their mugs made from old 120mm tank shells. From somewhere in the fortress, a chorus began to sing, and fireworks could be heard exploding outside, as could the crackle of blasters. Reverently, a midwife placed a clean white blanket on a sturdy table, and Glassman laid the swaddled infant before the Lord Baron.
The ship carrying my family is long gone. I am yours.
I know.
Kinnison leaned closer to see the child, as if for the first time. The boy was large, 10, maybe 12 pounds, and had a wild stock of coal-black hair. Incredibly, he seemed to actually resemble the Baron slightly. But then it was hard to recall what the Baron looked like under his layers of encrusted bandages.
Corbett!
The Baron grinned so wide his lips bled at the corners.
His name shall be Corbett Kinnison, the 27th Lord Baron of the Thousand Islands.
The room erupted in cheers once more, and now an army of slaves arrived to serve pre-dark wine in crystal goblets. One by one, the barons lucky enough to be present for the wonderful event filed by the infant to pay their respects. An old baron nodded at the tiny pink face.
Magnificent! A perfectly healthy gnome. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Kinnison reached out a hand toward the babe, then forced himself to withdraw it. There was no way he would chance spoiling everything now by giving the little one the Red Death. Griffin tucked his hands into the loose sleeves of his jacket.
And how is the mother?
The guards in the corners raised their blaster at the movement, and the Chancellor quickly withdrew his hands and kept them in plain sight as a midwife gave a slight curtsy.
Lady Susan died giving birth, noble sir. The delivery was long and difficult.
I see. What a tragedy.
Griffin stroked his beard.
I will attend to her burial needs personally. Such a glorious day to be marked by tragedy.
That is life.
Kinnison agreed and carefully watched the Chancellor disappear into the crowd. There was something in the way the man had spoken that greatly disturbed the Baron. He debated having the man chilled on general principle. His father had always told him that only the dead couldn't hurt you.
Looks exactly like you, my lord.
The Lord Baron narrowed his cold eyes and started to draw a blaster.
And what does that mean, shit-eater?
The Baron from the Western Lands went pale and began to sputter apologies. A draggled setman stumbled into the throne room, pushing his way past the armed guards and guests.
Who dares?
Kinnison's blaster cocked, but then he realized that it was Lieutenant Brandon. The Baron scowled at the man's appearance, clothes torn and bloody, his face slashed with a dozen half-healed scars, some of his black hair burned away, and an expression that announced serious trouble.
My lord, we need to speak in private.
Brandon gave the most cursory of salutes. His hand was bandaged, and it was obvious two of his fingers had been broken. Kinnison felt a blind rage build at the implied discourtesy, especially on such a day as this. Then he saw the grim determination in the Sect Chief's face, and forced down his fury.
My private chambers. The audience is over for today. Come back tomorrow.
As the fat man waddled for the door, the slaves and bodyguards hurried to follow, but not getting close enough to chance touching their master and catching his dreaded sickness. Two of the visiting barons exchanged words.
What the fuck was that about? Perhaps those clones that don't exist have come to call upon our lord and master.
The tall baron failed to hide his smile.
Wouldn't that be a shame?
Yes, wouldn't it just be a total disaster?
Poor man would never be able to fight the muties and defend this island, would he?
That's not for me to say at this time.
Slaves opened the door to the room before the Baron and quickly closed it behind Brandon. The brick walls were lined with long blasters, hand cannons, and even rapid fires. Covering an entire wall was a detailed painting of the Marshall Islands, every known landmass, island, and atoll clearly in beautiful detail. Some sections of the wall map were raised higher than others, layers upon layers of corrections lifting the features until it was almost a contoured relief map.
Well...
Brandon took a chair. Damn, he was tired.
I lost the fleet.
10 ships? How is that possible?
And Cold Harbor Ville was on fire the last time I saw it. Probably burned to the ground by now.
Tell me everything.
The Sec Man explained in detail. The fight, the pirates, the Outlanders, the Mesa with the pre-dark machinery.
So you chilled the Outlanders and smashed the device?
It wasn't a question.
The machine for sure, my lord. If we don't control it, no science must be allowed in the islands.
Correct.
However, I didn't see the dead bodies of those Outlanders. It's possible they survived the fall. I doubt it highly, but you never know.
Going behind his desk, Kinnison slumped in a massive chair built just for his bulk, running his hands along the smooth, polished top of the desk.
Well, at least that machine is gone. Unfortunately, we have also lost our main source of flash. Were there, any young girls with forked tongues involved in this?
The lieutenant managed to keep a neutral face. How the hell did the fat bastard know about her?
No, my lord, there weren't.
Good. If you run across any, chill them on sight. No rape, no torture, just a round in the head. Understood?
Yes, my lord. It shall be done.
Yeah. I have a son.
My congratulations, my lord. What's his name?
Corbett.
Good name. May he rule for 100 years.
Of course.
Kinnison waved that away.
With the loss of the Flash, this places me in an awkward situation with the Western Islands. The Vils are fighting each other again. If I refuse them both black powder, I could appear weak. It is possible the fools might join forces to attack us.
The fact you have an heir now will slow them down some.
Not by much.
Kinnison shot him a stare, then slammed his bloody hand onto the desk.
Shitfire, I have no choice. Go to the quartermaster and have him fill 100 barrels with our best black powder, the stuff reserved for the castle defense.
Yes, sir.
Then fill another 100 with charcoal dust mixed with some fireplace ashes. That should look enough like black powder to pass.